Hello and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We are here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from top performers in the online course industry. My name is John Ainsworth and today's guest is Chris Ward, the founder of Win the Hour, Win the Day philosophy. Chris is team building and system strategist. She shared the stage with Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup from the Soul, Kevin Harrington, the original Shark from Shark Tank, James Malinchak, ABC's Secret Millionaire, and many more. And today we're going to talk about building a team, the biggest mistakes around doing that, when to do it, and how much it costs. But before we start learning from Chris, I've got an important question for you. Do you own a course or authority website? And if you do you know there's a short list of techniques that can help you double to quadruple your revenue? It's true. There's about 8 techniques that my team uses to help online course creators grow their revenue. And the average rate of return from using these techniques is 428%. If you want to find out more about the techniques and how they can scale your income, go to courseprofitreport.com. On that page, you can access a short survey. It takes a few minutes to fill it in. And after you fill out the survey, my team's going to create a personalized profit increase report for you. So go to courseprofitreport.com, fill in the survey, and get your free personalized report. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Nice. So, team building, this is something that for a lot of the people in our audience, they haven't ever started doing. They've built the business up on their own. They've got it to a certain point where it's started to make some money. They maybe quit their day job. They got into it full time. They're making, maybe it's a few thousand a month. Maybe they're making more, but they wanted to keep it for themselves. They haven't mostly started to build a team. So can you talk everybody through how can a team accelerate their business?
Yeah, well, where do we start? This is a very exciting topic for me because I do literally see it change lives, right? So I guess I would start for me, John, one of the sort of misnomers of building a team is thinking that it's going to cost you money. And I know I thought that for years, like, listen, when my business was baby new, like 12 plus years ago, I was thinking, are you kidding me? I can't afford help right now. But what I didn't understand was what I call the 3 D's. Damaging overhead, delayed income, diminished opportunity. So, John, this is super important. So let's say your product or service that you can sell for $100. When you're caught up in the pre and post work, the admin work, all this busy work, you're not selling that. So you actually are then billing your business that $100. So you are the most damaging overhead to your business. And that's so many of us think we're saving money, but we are damaging overhead to our own business. Then we talk about delayed income. What if somebody bought your online product in June that they could have got in January, but you're so busy in the fussing and the admin and being trapped in the web of admin, you didn't finish it or get it out or get the new product out or whatever was holding you up. How much did that cost you that you got it out in June and it could have got you out in January? And what if they referred your product to one other person? How much does that cost? And then I think the most painful of them all is diminished opportunity. So then, John, when somebody says, hey, John, oh my gosh, I wish I had known you had that product. I just bought something very similar for somebody else. I would have loved to have bought from you. So the 3 D's, damaging overhead, delayed income, diminished opportunity, are incredibly costly to your business.
Got it. Where do you suggest people start with this? Because you were mentioning admin a few times there. Is that like the starting point, trying to get the basic admin stuff off people's plate?
Well, that's a great question, John. And I would say that no matter what you do, no matter what your expertise is, there is always pre and post work and there is admin work. And we live in this magical place where there's a lot of copy and paste. So often we get something that we do and we think this is our zone of genius. And then it starts to sort of expand and you think this pre and post work is connected to it, that only you can do it. So I do find that often the admin work, starting with a virtual assistant, is a really phenomenal place to start.
Yeah, one of the things that I did when I first was got going. So it was when I started this business. It was me and one other person, and so the two of us did everything, you know, between us. And I passed off certain parts to him, but it was just the two of us. And we mapped out like an org chart for the business, and we filled in all of the different things that we did, and then we put my or his name into every box in there, you know. And we've kind of figured out, right, what's the stuff in there that's the lowest value, or it's the easiest to do, or it's the most repetitive. Like, that was our kind of way of thinking it through. Like, the ideal we were looking for was something that somebody cheap could do easily, and you could train them in, and they could just do it again and again. You're like, okay, that's perfect if you can find that. And then we would, like, eventually, once we had a bit of money in the bank, hire somebody, train them up, get them to do it. You know, sounds easier than it is, but you know, lots of mistakes, hired a bunch of the wrong people, had to fire people again, etc., etc. But that was the basic kind of way we'd gone through it. Is there any kind of cleverer techniques or any ways you think about it in terms of, like, how you choose which bits of those roles, which tasks they are, that you're going to pass on to somebody?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so we, you know, when our clients are in the winner's circle, there's a couple of things that we do. First of all, you brought up a very salient point, John, that hiring is a whole thing on its own. And it's not something you do rushing in around between busy work thinking, I need somebody, and then I go hire. First of all, by the time you need somebody to hire, you're behind. And now you're rushing that process. And it's a whole skill set on its own. And I've been doing it for 12 plus years for myself and for all my clients. So just thinking you can run out and pop out and hire somebody, you know, is really undermining the process. And you don't have a process because you've never done it before. So that's the first issue. Right. Okay. The second one, you tapped into something I want to unpack, is, well, when can I afford that? And if you allow me, I'd like to tell you a really quick little story about my mindset around that thought as well. You know, I thought that once I got to a certain level of business, you know, once I climbed the mountain a certain height, then obviously I could afford help and all these things would just fall into play. And that really doesn't happen, because when you do climb the mountain, first of all, you're never going to get to the top of the mountain without the team. You're just going to get sliding back and forth, bloody knuckles, all that stuff. But let me tell you about the first person I hired. This was many years ago when I would go out still to physical appointments, like 12 plus years ago. And I'm sitting there as a marketing strategist and I'm making notes, blah, 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 and all this other stuff. And then I would get back to the office from meeting a potential client, and I would promise, hand to God, that I would put these notes right in the computer. And what would often happen is, if I was lucky, I got those notes in this Friday, but more often than not, next Friday. And sometimes these people would call with questions about their packages. And these notes I had written were meant for 20 minutes, not for a week or two.
Yeah.
So now I'm scurrying around. You can, you know, either sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to make a mistake because of these notes were shorthand, and I'm thinking, oh my heavens, I don't want them to think I'm swindling them. More often than not, I undercut my own price because I wasn't, you know, scrambling. And I thought, there has to be an easier way. So what I did was, I hired a transcriptionist, and now these are out of date. You don't even need these. But what happened was, I would leave the meeting, I would sit in my car, I would talk on my phone with my little notes, and I would give all kinds of details in like 30 seconds or a minute or two at max. And then she would put them right into the computer within 24 hours, all the beautiful details in the world. Now, at that time, if I had a lot of meetings in a week, she was so fast. This is all she did. This was her zone of genius. Heaven help me, she found this interesting. I don't get it. So she had like 10 clients. She's really efficient, right? And so the weeks that I used her a lot, it would cost me like $12. The weeks I didn't need her, it didn't cost me anything. So that got me all Friday afternoon back. It relieved me of a lot of stress. And so I really challenge anyone to tell me that they can't afford help. I guarantee you, you can't afford not to.
I like that. Now, you mentioned there the zone of genius. Can you talk everybody through the zone of genius model and what the different kind of zones are there?
Yeah, for me, the zone of genius is the problem that you solve for your clients and that they're paying you to. So for you guys creating products, that's the problem you're solving. And you need to be focused on the creation part. Because here's something people don't understand. When you're running around multitasking, doing it all, you definitely decrease your efficiency for sure. Your productivity goes down. But the most important thing that goes down, when your stress goes up, your creativity goes down. Mm-hmm. That's just that. And in the history of humankind, you'll see all the best inventions were done in the times of rest and play. That's when your creativity soars. That's why you have a great idea, you know, when you're driving or in the shower or doing all these things. And so you really squash that when you're running around trying to just crawl out of the web of admin. So you really want to understand that you should be in your zone of genius. Like, well, we call it in the winner's circle, your win formula. You should be getting your ideas to execution 60% of the time. I want to repeat that because it's super important. We all get trapped in the web of admin, but the win formula is admin 40%, ideas to execution 60%.
Okay. The way someone explained it to me, I forget, I think this might have been from Dan Sullivan with the zone of genius, is that I think it's like four zones altogether. And the first one's like the zone of incompetence. And it's, I found, this is for me at least, so I did start hiring as soon as I could, and I hired as many things as I could, and I wrote up systems for things and then hired people to do them. The stuff that was in my zone of incompetence was actually quite easy for me to hire for. Like, I hate, these are things I hate doing. I'm no good at doing it, like bookkeeping. I was disastrous. I hired a bookkeeper almost straight away because I just had a box full of receipts. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. It's like, okay, I have to hire somebody for this. And then I think the next one is the zone of competence. And that was like a bit harder because it's like, okay, I can do this stuff myself. And then it's harder to get hire somebody else to do it because, like, well, I could just do it myself. That's fine. The ones I really struggled with, I think the next one's called like the zone of excellence or something like this. And that's the stuff you're really good at. And you should probably hold on to that for quite a while. But eventually you should let it go because of what you're saying about the zone of genius. Like, it's, you've got some things that you just like, nobody else can do anywhere near as well as you. This is your magic that you can create in the world. And it's like, you have to spend as much time doing that, which means you have to get rid of as much other stuff as possible. And yeah, does that ring true for you? Like that experience of like the it being actually quite hard to get rid of certain things.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just coming at this, we're coming from different directions and landing at the same place. So breaking it down with different philosophies, quoting Dan Sullivan, I totally appreciate the layers there. I think what happens for me though, is I do think that people overthink it. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then what happens is they'll say, oh, I should break all these categories down. I should do all, we often so much as entrepreneurs tend to move away from what we're working to. Like your goal is to get from A to, or from C to D, and you end up going from C back to A. Right. So it's like, oh, I should hire somebody. Okay. Let me break down these four quadrants according to Dan Sullivan. And this is fantastic. But I challenge you that I still think we're overthinking it. Not you. You're doing awesome. You took action. This is amazing. Of course. Right. But what I'm saying is for your listeners is it doesn't need to be categorized. I would say to you, if you say, look, here's what I would ask you this. I would ask you, are you working evenings? Are you working weekends? Are you saying, once I get past this next thing, if you hear yourself saying, once I get past this next thing, things will be different. I'll be caught up. Ding, 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 ding. That's a warning bell. There will always be another thing. The goal is for you to have more revenue, more clients. And so really you should always be able to compress your work. So if you're working evenings and weekends, if you're not just, you know, having the freedom lifestyle you're promised, if you're stealing from sleep, saying I'll get up earlier, stay later, you know, that then is a sign that you do need help. And then don't start making that a new project of breaking up into sections, saying, okay, great, need help. Let's get some help. And then it's as simple as some of the stuff that, you know, because we're always delaying things as entrepreneurs trying to get it right. So I would say, you know, when you start doing some work, you can do something as simple as record it on Loom and say, okay, I do this every morning on Loom. You give it to your new person and say, can you write up the steps for that? Because we're going to start creating a systems and process for that. So, you know, someone with the smarts like you, John, and the ability to retain books that you read and all the wealth of knowledge that you share here and, you know, on all the other shows, your podcast, that's fantastic. For others who are a little bit more fatigued, I just want you to listen to the warning signs and really move forward as fast as you can, because you truly are working against yourself.
And what's then the biggest mistakes that most people make when building their team? Like, where do people go wrong here?
That's a fantastic question. So first of all, what I would say is, and we touched on a little bit, thinking that, you know, I could just hire, I'll just grab somebody, or a bigger mistake is sometimes they don't understand the magical land of, you know, virtual opportunities now, that it's so crazy affordable and that you could have somebody at a very high skill level for $5-6 US an hour. Like, it's unbelievable. So, because we have clients that come to us and in the winner's circle, and they'll say things like, you know, I was paying somebody 25, 30, 40 bucks an hour, because they kept thinking, well, it must be I'm not paying them enough because I'm not finding the quality of person I want. Mm-hmm. And then it's really the process, right? And so then we would get them somebody, and we're not a hiring agency. It's just one of the things we do to expedite the process when you're working with us. But we would get them someone and they say, Chris, this is so amazing. I would have paid 30 bucks an hour and here I'm paying six. So one of the mistakes is thinking that it's about you can't afford it. You can't. Right? I guarantee you, you can. Another mistake is you get somebody and they're great. And you think, this is fantastic. I've followed Chris's formula. I've hired, I've done this. This is wonderful. And then what happens is because they're good at one thing, you start throwing more and more at them. Like they're a virtual assistant and they're helping you with the admin. And then you think, well, they can help me a little bit with social media and then they can deal with the back end stuff. And all of a sudden you don't realize that you're having them come, you're really diluting their skill set and throwing more and more at them. And so they're like, well, they started out great. Well, yeah, because they started out doing admin work and then you ask them to do back end YouTube stuff. And then you ask them to do stuff with your product launch and the techie stuff. And these were all different jobs. Now, yeah. Not that I'm suggesting you have 10 people at all. I'm all about a very lean team, but just be mindful that you don't dump everything into one bucket. That's a big thing, right? And it's really funny. I wrote down when you said bookkeeper, a lot of people say, well, I outsource, I have a bookkeeper. And forgive me, but that shouldn't even be on the list because yes, you need a bookkeeper, you know, like you can't be on top of your country's tax, you know, things and keeping the books. And that's definitely another career. Like that's crazy talk. That's like saying, well, I have a doctor. I don't operate on myself. Right. Like, you know, I'm outsourcing. So to me, I don't even count a bookkeeper. Like, yes, if you don't want to go to jail, have an accountant, a bookkeeper. And like, that's just obvious. Like, right. You know, I'm not sewing my own clothes either, but I don't call that outsourcing when I buy my clothes. Right. So some big mistakes like that really do make a difference. And I would say too, here's a big, big thing. This is the most important thing. When we create our win team, which is what we call our what is next team, our whole philosophy is that they should manage you instead of you managing them. Because the mindset of an employee in the corporate, the way the corporate world is run, what happens is you hire somebody and then you check on them and you check their work. It's like a parent and a child, a teacher and a student. And it's a very parentified model. And so that creates more work for you. And you're thinking, I don't have time for this. I'm trying to get this product launch done. I'm trying to get this done. And now this is more work. And that's because you're following a very archaic model. You know, when you're working with us, it's really that the team should be managing you and their work should also constantly be compressed because we're always moving on to the next thing. That's your number one job is to get your next product out, to get to the next thing. It's being an entrepreneur is ideas to execution. And here's the thing. There may be other people with, you know, inferior products than you and don't care as much as you, but if they continuously get their ideas to execution to the marketplace in a regular pattern and always ahead of you, that's the name of the game. So you want to really crawl out of that web of admin and make sure that the team is managing you and that you're always moving on to your next ambition.
Now, you've mentioned this before, what's the 60-40 rule?
Yeah. So I do believe that you should be in execution mode 60% of the time and only in admin 40% of the time. And we do this with our super toolkits, which are kind of like systems and processes on steroids. I mean, SOP systems and processes, another thing that you often think is they will choke you up. And I started my business to be free. And that's a big myth because you're operating again from an employee mindset of how archaic corporations are set up, where SOPs are not written by the end user. They're static in nature and they're there to cover liability. Whereas we have created these super toolkits and they constantly compress your work. So, you know, we can constantly yield more and more work in less and less time so that I can get on to my next ambition. Cause there's always going, like in the last few months, we've been really focused on TikTok. So, you know, the first week I did TikTok, it took me like 2 hours just to crank out 10 videos. You know, the next week we did that in half the time. Now, you know, we just met yesterday. It's like, okay, I don't even need to do the paperwork. This is what was 12 steps was now 8. It's now 6. So we can do something like produce 30 pieces of content in an hour because we were constantly compressing in the last 5 weeks. So now I'm moving on to the next thing because that's what being an entrepreneur is about. We're not going to run out of ideas and we're not going to run out of things that have been thrown at us either.
Got it. Okay. So when you're talking about the SOPs, you mentioned this earlier about just for anybody who doesn't know, can you explain what an SOP is and what it stands for, first of all?
Yeah. So SOP is a standard operating procedure. And you know, it's you can call it that or systems and processes or whatever, but it's that big book of procedures that you're supposed to follow. And if you've had a horrible job at one point, they handed it to you on the first day and you're supposed to read it. And it was like, what is this? How is this going to be helpful? Right. But it's not usually written by the end user. It's there to cover liability. And so then you look at that and think, I started my own business. I am not doing that. I want freedom and creativity. But what you have is like these super toolkits, what allows you is to eliminate mistakes, to be consistent in execution, to hand off responsibilities. Like, we had somebody on our team who's been with us a number of years. Right before Christmas, she got an opportunity to go back to school. And she was from the Philippines. She's moving to Canada. It was a whole big thing. And at that same time, somebody had reached out to me and said, Chris, we're kind of stuck. We had this keynote speaker, all the chaos that was going on in the world. Could you do a virtual event for 4 hours? But we need it custom. Okay, fine. So 2 weeks before Christmas, I have somebody say, hey, I'm moving to Canada. And okay, I want to stay with you guys, but my hours are going to decrease significantly because I'm going to college full time. Then I've got this speaking gig. We hired somebody, Maura, and she was up to 80% capacity in less than 2 weeks because we had these super toolkits. Everything was just transferred to her. You know, so I hired her. I didn't even train her. And by the time I got, I had a meeting with her 2 weeks later, she was doing the job full, like 80%, 20%. I don't even know what she was missing, but I know it wasn't all there. But there was no hiccups. There was no bumps. There was no derailment. I wasn't, you know, vulnerable to the fact that, oh no, what am I going to do? Somebody's moving on. And so that's what you really want to have. You want to have some stability in your business so you can always get your next idea to execution.
And you mentioned earlier about like recording a Loom video and it being the end user who writes this up, which is when I first learned about this, I found this revolutionary because I was like, I don't want to write up systems.
No.
And I'm not even necessarily very good at writing up systems. And then someone explained to me that I didn't need to. So can you explain what is the process you use for getting the end user to write that up, how that kind of works?
Yeah. So there's a teeny bit more to that just to make it highly efficient, but that's a fantastic place to start. And what I would caution you, and I hear this all the time, listen, I fell prey to this many years ago myself. You think, all right, you know what? First of all, let's pause here for a second and back up for a second and say, you think because it's your business and it's your products you're launching and you've been doing this from the get-go that you have it all in your head. Like, that's a horrible place. Businesses are not run on memory, right? Memory is not your friend. The brain is there to create ideas, not to store them. And let's say there's 7 steps to something you do regularly. I assure you repeatedly, you will miss 1 or 2 of those steps. And the worst part is there will be different steps. It'll be rotating which ones you miss. So let's just get that off the table, that you cannot be running, you know, it wears down your battery, it fatigues you, you're going to make mistakes, all this stuff. So what you want to do is you want to have steps that are like, oh, I can just hop in, do this. It doesn't use up my brain power and I move on and then I can do things creative. And that way, because we get decision fatigue. We make something like 350,000 decisions in a day and you're using that up on remembering things and all this other stuff. So that's a whole thing, right? So then one of the mistakes I would make is I'd be like, okay, I'm going to come in on a Sunday. I'm going to write up all these steps and it's going to be like, whatever. Right. Or I've had like a client came to me, said, Chris, this doesn't work. I mean, he hadn't worked with me yet, but he's saying, I don't buy into what you're saying. I'm a videographer and I have video editing steps. And I spent 2 weeks making all these steps and I gave it to someone and they didn't work. Well, because you're looking at the ceiling and remembering. So these are breathing documents that are constantly going to be evolving. And so it's so much better for you to do a Loom while you're doing something, have them write out the steps. And then when they go to try it, they realize, oh, they're missing the password, or you forgot to do this because you always do it. So writing out instructions just without any action to it, you're always going to find your missing steps. So one of the biggest mistakes is running in and thinking, I'll just stay late all this week and do it on Sunday and write out all these beautiful steps and they'll be done. Not only are you going to miss steps, but we're constantly tweaking our super toolkits because it's not just getting it done, but we want to always make it more efficient. Like, do I need to be the one doing this? Can we combine these 2 steps? Do we even need to say this anymore? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm. One of the things I found with once you've got an SOP written up is that you can read through it and think, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's about right. But then if you actually follow it step by step and do it, you're like, oh, well, it's kind of like that, but it's actually like this. And it's like, really, you have to do that, which is like you're saying about it being constantly evolving. I totally agree. That's exactly what I found.
Yeah. Or that password. Yeah. That's the password for all the other ones, but not for that one on Tuesday, Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing I think that people go wrong with this is that they think that they need to get them all done in a go or something. It's like, we've got basically the whole business. I mean, obviously it's all still changing and still updating, but I think we've got every step in what we do SOPs for it now, but it's 4 years in. And I started about 6 months in or something. It's like, it's just it took a long time. And it's like, that's okay. You don't have to do it in one go. You don't have to come in on Sundays and do it. You kind of just pass off a bit. That gives you a bit more time, and then you can maybe pass off a bit more or something.
Yeah, you'll always get time back. I mean, the clients that work with us, they all tell me that they get 25 hours back a week within the first month of working with us. And I'm not a wizard, but it's just, there's so much stuff weighing you people down that you just can't see the forest for the trees. So honestly, people are so amazed. And I work with people that have been in business 5, 10 years, whatever. And they're like, I wish I had not suffered these last unnecessary 5 years. But it's not that what I do is so magical. It's just, you're working against yourself. That's the thing. And you're trying to do it all. And you just think, listen, if hard work was the answer, you'd be exactly where you wanted to be by now. So it's really about understanding the values of having a win team, a what is next team, instead of just having a VA that you dump stuff on. It's understanding that you can afford that. And it's understanding that effective, dynamic systems and processes like our super toolkits will free you unbelievably. Otherwise, you're just diving into the day, you know, like 52 pickup every day, relearning things, fatiguing yourself, you're just constantly juggling, being that hamster on the wheel. I mean, some of my clients have said to me, Chris, I feel like I'm a pilot driving a bus, or I'm holding onto the side of the pool and I should be swimming, you know? And as you know, your potential, and it's so painful when you're not getting there. And so then the worst part, John, and this breaks my heart when I see people spending a lot of time and energy on the wrong thing. So especially in this age of technology, the worst part is then you think, oh, well, I need this. If I buy that software and take 3 months to learn how to use it, spend this kind of money, it's going to magically take care of itself. But I would be here to tell you that the most successful people in the world, financially independent with freedom in their lifestyle, they're using the same free tools that you and I are using. They're using Google Calendar. They're just using it differently. So it's really not about the tech. And I don't want you to be chasing fog and run down that road. It's really about some basics that will constantly allow you to get your ideas to execution.
If someone's been listening to this and is like, all right, I'm bought in, I need some help, and they want to learn more about it, where can they go to learn more about like working with you or you know, getting any resources from you?
Yeah, you can check us out at winthehourwintheday.com. For sure. I'm on all the socials. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Tell me that you heard me on this fantastic show. We'll become fast friends. And for those of you that just want free goodies, I put something in very special. If you go to free gift, freegift from Chris, KRIS.com, free gift from Chris.com, I put something in special that we still charge for, like the audio version of my book. So you might want to check it out because it's only going to be up there for a bit.
Nice. Perfect. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. Free gift from Chris, KRIS, free gift from Chris.com. Chris, thanks so much. This has been amazing. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your wisdom with everybody.
Well, there's nothing more generous somebody can do than give you their time. So thank you for sharing yours.
And if you found this interview useful and you want to get future episodes, please subscribe wherever you listened. And thank you all very much for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.